time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas, at 12 noon in the Valley. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. It is Friday, August 28th, 2020. Dan Duva here, Mike McKenna. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Nighttime at Noon. It is not the episode of Nighttime at Noon we might have expected to broadcast when the week began. It is a day that has no NHL games, as yesterday had no NHL games, as the National Hockey League's players have stepped back. Mike McKenna is here, and we're going to join Will Carrier live from Edmonton in a few moments to speak about what has taken place in the last couple of days. We also will be playing for you some of the audio press conferences yesterday, hearing from Ryan Reeves, Nazem Kadri, Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, along with Pete DeBoer, Jared Bednar, and some other comments from the press conferences yesterday as we address what has been an interesting few days in the world of sports and in the world of hockey and in the United States of America. Well, Mike, as we stand by for Will Carrier, I am first curious to hear how you are doing today and what things have been on your mind.
Well, it's an emotional couple days, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, I've had a pit in my stomach the past several days seeing what's happening in our nation. I'm an American, you know, and I've grown up in a city that's been plagued with problems in St. Louis as a kid. And you know, to see all the athletes in the NHL rally in solidarity together was just a huge moment. And I think that there was this overwhelming sense that hockey is not our most important thing right now, you know, as people, as human beings. And to see everybody come together and take that step was so encouraging. And it also seemed to, in my own mind, somewhat validate the reservations I'd had of even thinking about hockey in these instances with what was going on.
So let's dial it back here a couple of days. It is Wednesday, which was August 26th. There were three games that day. There was one in the afternoon, the Islanders and the Flyers. As a matter of fact, we were talking with the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, on this show. And one of the questions we asked was about the NHL's place when it comes to social issues, racial justice. And Commissioner Bettman, of course, we didn't know what was unfolding at that point as it related to the National Basketball Association and its players. But Commissioner Bettman made the point of wanting to give the league's players the opportunity to discuss things as they see fit. And I think that while the quote from Pete DeBoer, and we'll hear him in his own words in a little while, that this is a player-driven movement, but team-supported and clearly league-reported. And while these, in the NBA players termed their movement a boycott, the probably more accurate term would be a secondary boycott. In other words, they were not boycotting against the NBA, just as the NHL players are not boycotting against the National Hockey League. They are seeking to bring awareness to an issue that for several of these athletes is personal and believe it needs more attention. Now, we're not hiding the reality that a huge percentage of players in the NBA are people of color, whereas in the National Hockey League, you saw Ryan Reeves standing with Pierre-Édouard Bellemare and Nazem Kadri. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare was born and raised in France. Ryan Reeves was born and raised in Canada. Nazem Kadri, born in Canada, his family is Lebanese. He's a Muslim. So this is not as simple as black athletes, African-American athletes, because those three people who stood on that stage, not one of them was an African-American. This is a larger issue about people of color and how people, whether it's race, religion, society, not being treated fairly. And of course, this all with the response to how police officers have used force in inappropriate ways. That is how the reactions have come about here and how it has affected people so deeply. So again, we're standing by for Will Carrier, who we expect to join us live, and we want to play you some audio from what Ryan Reeves and others had to say yesterday, but we don't want to jump into that audio because we wouldn't want to have Will have to wait if he is able to join us live here in a couple moments. So we do want to get to that. We will talk about the hockey because it is worth pointing out here that the hockey will resume on Saturday. The Golden Knights will be playing that contest on. They'll be playing Saturday and Sunday, 6:45 on Saturday, and then 7:30 on Sunday. So three NHL games Saturday, three NHL games on Sunday. So we will get to Will Carrier in a little bit, but let's listen into the comments yesterday. Ryan Reeves with Nazem Kadri, Pierre-Édouard Bellemare. Those are the three voices you're going to hear in this cut. But it's important to note the scene. These athletes, along with Jason Dickinson from the Dallas Stars, who you won't hear in this cut, but they are standing there with all of their teammates behind them. So you've probably seen the video conferences where a couple of players are at a table. There's an NHL backdrop behind them. Well, in this instance, those individuals are standing and their teammates in huge quantity, not just a handful of teammates. I don't have a head count, Mike, but it seemed to be like all of them
were
there.
It sure looked like everybody is in the bubble playing hockey to me.
And so reporters were asking questions remotely. They were not in the room to ask the questions. So you have these athletes answering questions to a camera. No, not a human being that they could look back to. But we want you to hear this extended stretch. This is about 4 minutes of how yesterday's press conference began. The first voice you'll hear is that of Ryan Reeves in cut one.
I think if you look around this room, there's a lot of white athletes in here, and I think that's the statement that's being made right now. It's great that the NBA did this, and the MLB and the WNBA, you know, they have a lot of black players in those leagues, but for, you know, all these athletes in here to take a stand and say, you know what, we see the problem too, and we stand behind you. You know, I go to war with these guys, and I hate their guts on the ice, but I couldn't be more proud of these guys. It's, the statement that they've made today is something that's going to last. You know, these 2 days isn't gonna fix anything, but the conversation and the statement that's been made is very powerful, especially coming from this league.
I agree. Just to reiterate, I think this is a big enough statement, just all these guys sticking together. I got so much more respect for every single player in this league by doing something like this. And obviously systemic racism, we can use these next couple of days to further educate ourselves and try to, you know, for the betterment of society. So, it's something that needed to be done. And, you know, I think hockey's a team sport, a team game, and every single one of these guys are on the same page and stand with each other.
Same here. I mean, it's not an easy subject. It's an awkward subject for a lot of people. And the fact that we're all here together right now, it's going to bring a lot of awareness and going to be a lot of questions asked, and it's going to be able to help everybody educate themselves, educate the people to ask the question. And the fact that everybody is right here with us standing up together, it's huge. It's a great unity.
Take the next one. Josh Clipperton, Canadian Press.
Hey guys, for Naz, Pierre-Édouard, and Jason, just with the benefit of hindsight, did it feel right to play last night? Like, were you reservations when you were on the ice playing that game?
It did, but in the same time, it happened really fast. I don't want to, give the blame to anybody, but by the time we got to the ring, games were on, and the news came up that the NBA postponed, so it didn't feel right, but I feel that after reflecting on it and us being here together, it's the best response we could have.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Ryan. Kevin Shattenkirk over on the Eastern side was talking about the influence that you had for a lot of these guys. What was your message about why it was important not to play?
I think it was just what I said. I think the message coming from a predominantly white league has a lot bigger impact, not bigger impact, but it has a very strong impact when it's coming from players like this. You know, most of these guys have never lived through some of the stuff that black athletes have. You know, they don't go through those day-to-day things that they feel that racism, or they've seen the racism, or their family's gone through it. But for them to say, look, we see what's going on in society, and we disagree with it, and something has to change right now. That was my message. And I think I said that standing together here is, it's more powerful than anything you can do. We're in a bubble. There's nothing you can do outside the bubble right now. And we can't change anything because we're stuck in here, but together in here right now, that's what we can do.
And that is Ryan Reeves speaking yesterday. Again, you've got the players addressing the media. You heard, again, the voices of Ryan Reeves, Nazem Kadri, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, speaking to the media with many of their teammates and opponents standing behind them. Mike, of the things you heard from Reeves, former Golden Knight Pierre-Edouard Belmar, and Colorado Avalanche forward Nazem Kadri, what stands out to you there?
Well, you think of what Ryan Reeves said, that I hate these guys' guts on the ice. I go to war against them, but I'm so proud of them now. And they're standing as hockey players, as humans. You know, they're not confined within their tribes of teams in this scenario. They are all together. And the amazing part of this is how it's come about from players approaching Ryan Reeves that are not of his background, and them continuing what started as conversation and now taking that as action, and knowing that the players, they're going to be open to criticism by doing this. But they're brave enough to face that head on, knowing that morally, in their hearts, this is what they think is the right thing to do.
You can go back to Wednesday evening, as we mentioned a moment ago, as hockey games are occurring and about to begin, when the Milwaukee Bucks players huddle and decide that they do not want to play. They talk in their locker room. They communicate with the Orlando Magic players and ultimately decide they're not going to play. And then they speak to the attending media, and word begins to circulate. And as that word circulates, it's not only in the NBA, it's getting to other sports. Multiple Major League Baseball teams chose not to play. I believe three games of those on Major League's schedule were postponed. And then the WNBA following suit with their NBA brethren. Mike, can you help us understand that moment if you're one of these NHL players while a lot is going on? While you're preparing for a game, listen, you're as connected to social media as anybody, but I can't imagine 2 hours before a hockey game, you're scrolling through to see what's happening on Twitter. Can you help us get to the place where those guys might have been as they were getting ready for a game on that day?
Well, it's a tough place to be in because you are preparing and you're so close to your game that coming to a realization that everybody else is taking action, what do we do? And you're just about to drop the puck. You're in the middle of your preparation for it. It put them in a really tough spot at times for the players, you know, and I think them looking back at it, hearing Belmar's words that, you know, there's something going on here and we're not part of it at this moment. That's really what drove the conversations directly after those games for sure. I think there may have even been an element of guilt at times with it. And to see the players open up and start that lines of communication, because that's what really this comes down to, is all the players talking to one another and communicating and having the leadership. Boy, that's hard before a game.
Right.
I mean, it's a tough place to be.
I mean, this is 2020. This is not 1980 or 1950. That word travels quicker than ever. That
instantaneous.
That doesn't necessarily mean that every single player is as connected as another. And each person is different. Each person goes about thinking through a situation differently. And so I thought that the NHL took some unnecessary flack for not immediately stopping everything, because a lot of times when things change, it's an organization or it's a league. This was not the case. This was a player-driven movement, and you're right. Asking, you know, four hockey teams who normally are not communicating with each other, right?
Correct.
To take in outside information, think about it themselves, then communicate with their opponents who they're getting ready to play against, and then reach some sort of historic decision to stop the game. So I think that it was a little bit too much to be overly critical of the athletes on that day.
They're not going to meet at center ice and say, what do we do, guys? Right. You know, by the time you start to put your equipment on, you're playing hockey.
Right.
That's just the reality of the situation. Yeah.
And then we will hear more in a little bit about what did transpire from Wednesday evening into Thursday and then the games having been postponed. Player-driven and team-supported, in the words of head coach Pete DeBoer. We're going to take a timeout now. When we return, we will hear live from Edmonton, Alberta, Golden Knights forward Will Carrier, who was in attendance yesterday and, of course, line mate and teammate of Ryan Reeves the last couple of years. Will Carrier joins us next. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
12:18 in Las Vegas. Dan Duva, Mike McKenna with you on Nighttime at Noon. This is Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, and streaming live on TuneIn and wherever you get your streaming audio. We go live now to Rogers Place, Edmonton, Alberta, and we're joined by Golden Knights forward William Carrier. Hi, Will. How are you today?
Good. Yourself?
Very well, thank you. We've got lots to talk about here, but first I want to ask a simple question. How are you today?
Pretty good. I mean, we're obviously we got a couple of days off here, so we're trying to get the body going and get ready for tomorrow's game.
With everything that has gone on here in a couple of days, between the hockey, the significance of that, and your teammates and some of your opponents speaking about racial injustice yesterday, can you tell us what it was like to be with your teammates and what discussions happened as things began to unfold on Wednesday evening?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a busy day. I think we got to the rink, everyone was expecting to play, and a couple guys showed up from Vancouver. We had a quick meeting here with the boys, and we all decided that we were gonna skip that day here just to show that we're all together in this. And it was kind of a weird day, but it's a great cause for us.
Ryan Reeves has been at the front of this, not only for your team, but for the entire Western Conference, and one of the clear voices of the National Hockey League. But he's not just a face of this, Will. He's your teammate. He's your friend. How is Ryan right now?
Yeah, no, I think he's pretty good. I think he's, it's tough for him. Obviously, he's kind of busy the last couple of days. But, I think he made the right decision, and they're all they're all trying to get to the same boat and get the same speech here. So I think they've been really good. And, we saw that press conference yesterday. So I think all the league is jumping in the boat.
Will, you talked about meeting with the Vancouver Canucks on this matter. And it's such a unique scenario to be in the bubble, to be playing against them in a heated playoff series. And to take an action like this, what were those conversations like, amongst the teams as you were trying to come to a conclusion on what to do?
Yeah, I won't lie. It was, it's kind of a little weird, especially the way I play, where, kind of a couple of hits in and sometimes it gets heated up out there. But, stuff off the ice is a completely different thing. So I think it was good. And I think a couple of our guys took some leadership and to get through that.
Yeah, and the communication factor is really, to me, the biggest thing that stands out. It began with all the teams working together. I don't know if I've seen the players as unified as they are in terms of the grand scheme of things. Is that a feeling that you have as well?
Yeah, no, it was, we had a short meeting. It didn't take long. Revo came in the room and talked about the situation we had, and everyone agreed pretty quick on it, and we went through with it.
Will, I want to play you a piece of audio yesterday, Ryan Reeves speaking to the media at the press conference. And he's talking about getting the message from Kevin Shattenkirk, one of his teammates with St. Louis, and, of course, now plays for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I would like you to listen to this, and then we can get your reaction. This is Ryan Reeves yesterday in Cut 3.
I think the best thing that happened, last night I struggled with, what I wanted to do, whether it was, am I really going to walk out on my team and be the only guy, or is there going to be a couple guys? But I woke up to, a text from Kevin Shattenkirk, and he had a bunch of guys out east there, and they wanted to talk. And then I got a text saying Vancouver wanted to talk. And, that I think was more powerful, that it started, the conversation started with white players on other teams wanting to talk. And, I think that's the most powerful thing that happened today. And now you see us all coming together, all opponents here. I hope after this, I don't expect every one of these guys to go out and, be advocates for this movement, but you know, I'm sure a lot of us are. And that's the biggest thing. You can't just talk about it in the bubble and then go home and live your life. You know, you gotta start being part of it. And, you know, I expect lots of us to.
Will, that you heard Ryan talking there about how important it was for the white athletes to step up here, and you being a white athlete and being very close to Ryan, can you tell us what it means to be a white athlete and to feel what your teammate Ryan Reeves feels?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I grew up in a pretty easy community, and down in Montreal, it wasn't that bad. But obviously, playing with Revo and Belmar, you know, for the last couple of years, they've kind of went through and told me a couple of stories growing up. It wasn't really hard, but you know, they got some situation that, you know, is confusing for everyone. And obviously, you know, we kind of all wanted to jump on that boat, and so it didn't take much. You know, obviously, it did start with them taking a knee here a couple of weeks ago, and got the conversation going, and a couple of guys were already talking in the room. And when we saw the opportunity to do something, we did.
Well, you mentioned stories, and I can't expect you to remember the details of a story those guys might have told you, but can you speak to what the value of a story when you hear Pierre or hear Ryan tell you a story? Can you speak to what that means when you hear them share their experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's it lacked of respect. That's probably how I would call it. You know, we don't feel it as a white athlete, obviously, because we just go through it and you know, we kind of get it pretty easy. But you know, for them, it could be coaches, it could be, you know, it could be media, it could come from everywhere, where it only takes a little comment or something and just throw them off guard. And obviously, I'm not going to go through their story. I'm sure they could probably share some with you guys. But yeah, I mean, it's tough.
Well, when you think about what's going on now, as Ryan points out, in the bubble, you guys have work to do. You know, you are literally isolated. You can't go out into the community. You can't do much other than speak, as you have done, as your teammates have done. Have you given any thought to where you're going forward after all this, how this can be a cause you support? And even if it's very personal, I mean, you're a new dad. You've got a young family, and how, what conversations and those, obviously a very new dad, so conversations aren't going to help very much for your little one. But those kinds of things, thinking forward.
Yeah, I think a couple of guys want to get together here. Obviously, we still got business to do here, but the last couple of days, guys have been talking or trying to do something in Vegas. So I'm sure the team will set something up for us.
Now, Will, we're going through all these tumultuous times in hockey, and seeing everything that's taken place is just, it's incredible to see everybody come together. But the reality is, in a couple days, you guys are going back to playing hockey. So how do you continue to keep this to the forefront while, you know, going back to doing what you guys do best on the ice? You know, how do you flip that switch back to hockey mode while keeping engaged with what is going on?
Yeah, you know, I don't think we got it. You know, we had the conversation yesterday in the locker room. I don't think we're trying to solve the problem here with those 2 days of just us not playing hockey. I think we're just trying to get people to talk, and that's what we've been doing here.
And Will, I know that you have a strong commitment to your teammates, whether it is on the ice or off the ice. And this is a business, but it also is a heck of a lot of fun. And at some point here, you get on the ice and practicing today. Can you give us a feel for what it's like today? Have you guys tried to get back to having a good time as teammates and being around each other and doing the things that you normally do?
Yeah, I mean, we're known as a team to have some fun on the ice and talk a lot, and a lot of chirping between the guys. And I felt like that in practice. You know, guys were going at it, guys are ready, and obviously, we got a big game coming up for us tomorrow.
And I couldn't help but hear there might have been one of your defensemen, I don't know, chirping you right before this interview began. What was that?
Yeah, Nick Olden. I mean, he's trying to learn French here, and he's doing a terrible job. So I'll keep working on it.
Are you the tutor of the team now? Is it your responsibility to help them learn their French as they're in the bubble?
I mean, guys really don't know what to do no more. I think they're just getting fed up with cards and poker, and I think now they want to learn a new language. So, you know, whatever they need.
Well, très bien, et bonne chance.
That's pretty good.
That's Mike. I could not do that. I might be able to give you a few words in Italian, but I could not even attempt the French. Will, last thing before before we let you go, we talk about the hockey. Any thoughts on what you guys need to do to bounce back in the game against Vancouver in Game 3 tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we just got to get back to what we were playing on the first game. You know, get on pucks, play simple, dump some pucks in, and, you know, we create a lot of offense when we play that way. So we just got to make sure we tighten our D zone and neutral zone, and, we should be all right.
Will, thank you very much for your time today and sharing your thoughts on something that's more personal and not hockey-related, but we appreciated it all. So thank you very much, and give our best to the rest of your teammates, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Will. That's William Carrier joining us live from Edmonton, Alberta. Well, that was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. There you go. There goes Will. And quick word before we step aside from our friends over at VGK Worldwide. Since we're getting a lesson in French here, you could join other Golden Knights fans around the world with VGK Worldwide, the official global fan club of the Vegas Golden Knights. Become a premium member by visiting VGKWorldwide.com and purchasing your kit today. Premium members receive access to exclusive merchandise, exciting contests, and specialized content. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of painting the globe gold. When we come back, I want to hear from a couple of the coaches on this topic. The players have led this, but as Pete DeBoer said, the teams have supported it. So we'll get that perspective when we come back. And we will be talking about the hockey. The Golden Knights have a game. That'll be, again, tomorrow, Saturday. It is a 6:45 start, and then there are a couple of other games going on, too, Saturday. You'll have the Lightning and the Bruins in the morning, 9 a.m., and then you'll have the Flyers and the Islanders at 4 in the afternoon. So, again, Tampa and Boston with the Lightning leading that series, Philadelphia and the Islanders, then the Golden Knights and Vancouver in the evening. So we'll take a timeout. We'll be right back. This is Nighttime at Noon.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
12:32 in Las Vegas. Dan Duva, Mike McKenna here for Nighttime at Noon. Glad you could join us. Don't forget, later on today, it's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace. That begins at 4 o'clock, goes until 6 o'clock. And then we hit the weekend, and the Golden Knights have games Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, that game is at 6:45 Pacific. Sunday, it's 7:30. And we will be talking about the hockey coming up here in a little bit. But we have talked from the players' perspective. Want to hear from some of the coaches who spoke yesterday about supporting the players. Pete DeBoer was one of them. We are going to hear from head coach Pete DeBoer of the Golden Knights. We also want to hear from one of Mike McKenna's former coaches and currently the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche, Jared Bednar. But let's start with Cut 4. This is Pete DeBoer speaking about Ryan Reeves being essentially the focal point of this movement by the players, at least in the Western Conference Hub. Here is Pete DeBoer in Cut 4.
Well, real proud of him. You know, it hasn't just been the last 24 hours. We've had ongoing conversations going back to, you know, the beginning when we got into the bubble and him and a group of other players took a knee during the anthem. And, you know, he's a smart, intellectual guy that, you know, has a lot of loyalty to both his race, but also to law enforcement and military, and he doesn't do anything without considering everything. And so, you know, when we discussed what was going to go on here today, you know, he had my full support. I don't think he slept a lot last night. I think it weighed heavily on him, and you know, but I also think he was very comfortable in his decision, and you know, I'm real proud of him and proud to stand behind him.
Again, that's Pete DeBoer speaking yesterday. Pete went on to offer the line that has been repeated here, Mike, and that is player-driven but team-supported. Again, here's Pete DeBoer in Cut 6.
Well, it's player-driven, but it's team-supported. You know, I can speak for our team, and I really think I can speak for all the gentlemen up here because we've had discussions about this. You know, we're 100% behind this from the moment it was brought up with the players. So yes, it's player driven, but definitely team supported. And you know what, I'm open to whatever role I can play in this. Absolutely. Open to ideas. I don't pretend to know you know, even where to start, but, you know, I'm open to anything.
Again, that's Pete DeBoer speaking yesterday, first saying about his pride for Ryan Reeves, speaking about how he's thought about this, and also pointing out that this is player-driven and team-supported. And Micah, it just, this is a new kind of a thing.
It is. And Ryan Reeves talked about how he didn't get much sleep that night. He was really torn apart with what to do with this. And he didn't, it seemed as though he really had the confidence to step forward to this when teammates came forward behind to help him, to support him, to support the whole cause, that it wasn't just him with these feelings. It was everybody within the game. You know, that leadership aspect of it from everyone is what means so much. And it flips to the coaches as well. What Pete DeBoer says, your job as a coach, first and foremost, is to be a leader. It is to support your players, and knowing that this is something that meant so much to his players, to all players, you take it upon yourself to foster that, to make sure that what they're doing is not just of importance, but it's also within the confines of a team and how it works. And it's impressive. It's really, really impressive to see everyone stepping up like this.
Earlier this year, an organization called the Hockey Diversity Alliance was created. And this, you know, unfortunately, we've had multiple high-profile incidents with black men and women shot by law enforcement, and in some cases shot fatally. And it's amazing that this has all happened just in the last half year. But this Hockey Diversity Alliance was, you know, first of all, here are some of the people involved signing this letter that was sent to the NHL. Hakeem Aliyu, Evander Kane, Trevor Daley, Anthony Duclair, Matt Dumba, Nazem Kadri, Wayne Simmonds, Chris Stewart, Joel Ward. We had talked with Ryan Reeves about the Hockey Diversity Alliance on the SLGND podcast several weeks ago, and had talked with some of those guys, has expressed some interest in being involved, but it was the Hockey Diversity Alliance that was created months ago now that, as a group, was in a position to come together and make the request to Commissioner Bettman, and I'm reading from their statement here, suspend all playoff games today to allow players and fans to reflect on what happened and to send a message that human rights must take priority over sport. This is an organization that was formed in June. In June. Now, here we are, it's the end of August, and an organization that was created in the wake of George Floyd now has another incident and takes action. This is a group of current and former players doing this that is working with the National Hockey League.
You're taking those initial conversations that happened after George Floyd, and they are turning into action now. And, you know, there were a lot of players that I think that maybe weren't as aware of what was going on. And we saw those statements come out after the initial wave of how to reflect and how to learn more. And to me, this is really coming to fruition, that you have taken things that maybe you weren't aware of in your life previously and now realize the importance of humankind here, that this is really a rights issue for everybody. And the Hockey Diversity Alliance taking that next step and being able to formally have a voice and to see the players across all backgrounds on board with that voice. Strong action.
We're talking about this today as it has impacted the National Hockey League, the Vegas Golden Knights, society at large, as high-profile events have taken place. And you might, in your life, not have experienced anything like this, but perhaps you've experienced something else that had a damaging impact on your life. Perhaps domestic violence. Perhaps substance abuse. Perhaps financial distress. Hunger. Disease. Homelessness. I would bet that each person listening to us now has experienced very closely at least one of those things I just listed and how it impacted you in your life. This is an issue, talking about the racial injustice and the law enforcement involved in these shootings of unarmed minorities. This is an issue affecting those folks right now. And it's important to those folks right now. And while it might not impact each and every person listening to us right now, part of being a human being is having the respect and the empathy for others in our community. Because you would expect, if you're having a hard time with hunger, with disease, with substance abuse, that other people in your community would come and help you and support each other. And that is why it's impressive to me to see these athletes, these organizations, not just go along with it, but to be as supportive as they are, because they see a small minority of NHL players are people of color, but they still are significant. And that is why it's impressive to me that the respect and the empathy is on display here.
Yeah, I spent yesterday speaking with friends, and I forced myself to go outside of my comfort zone and have difficult discussions. I felt like that was the most important thing that I could possibly do yesterday. I spoke to a friend of mine who's a police officer in Alton, Illinois. I spoke to a friend of mine who was our bus driver in Portland, Maine. Samson, one of my favorite people on earth. Black man, he was a Marine, a bus driver. He's a stand-up comedian at times. And the perspective that you get from both there to learn about this and how we can help one another. And I found very similar responses from both of them, that it's communication and leadership. And just like you said, it's the respect for humans in general. And whether you're speaking about racial issues or you're speaking about substance abuse issues or anything else that can plague humankind, what it all circles back to is that you know somebody within your circle who has had problems and needed help. And this is a perfect example of coming together as a people to make a difference.
You don't have to understand someone else's plight to feel what they're feeling. You can trust that they're not having a good day, that they're having a rough time with something, and you can still feel it with them. You might also then, as a next step, want to educate yourself. And I think often of the Thomas Jefferson line, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. It doesn't have to start with being all-knowing and wisdom and knowledge. Our life journey is an education, but we've got to not take that for granted, I think.
We have to continue moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, I can think of back to my childhood was very different, you know, yeah. And I can think of mindsets that in my life that I'm so happy are gone. It's real. You grow, you learn, you evolve.
Sports as a place to bring people of different backgrounds together. I want to talk about that in a moment, but first let's hear from Jared Bednar, head coach of the Colorado Avalanche. Here he is speaking about brothers in the locker room in Cut 5.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have players that, you know, we've got some younger guys, we've got some older guys, we've got players from all over the world, and they come from different backgrounds, and it's you get everyone into one locker room, and they're just teammates first and brothers, and it's, you know, you see how people from all over the world can come together, and that's what I think sports does for, you know, I think our communities and our country can learn a little bit from sports and from teams and from what a locker room can look like, and how much people care about each other, even though they're from different backgrounds. And you know, what I like about our team is, like, guys like Nazem and P. Belmar, they've started conversations in our locker room. There's players, coaches, we're getting educated on different, you know, views and sharing ideas and you know, to try and bring change. And even if it's just education for our team and it sparks ideas and how we can get out in our communities and help, I think is positive.
That is Jared Bednar, head coach of the Colorado Avalanche. Mike, one of your former coaches.
Yeah, and Jared Bednar I hold in highest regard. Great human being, excellent hockey coach, but he's always had the ability to see the big picture. That's part of why he's been a successful coach. He knows how to manage and nurture his family, his players. And I'll take it a step further that it's team sports that foster this so much, because you are within that context of a group, and it's outside of the locker room even. Think about the Golden Knights fans. They are a team in their own right. They're an extension of our team. If the Golden Knights win, they say, "We won," because you feel that. You have that connection to it. And to me, as a, from a fan standpoint, you know, you're supporting your teammates as well by being part of this and understanding the plight of everybody from different backgrounds within your context of a team, of a Golden Knights fan, as a Vegas resident. That's the team aspect.
We'll take a time out, and I want to address a couple of things in the next segment. What we can do in our lives, and you can't accomplish everything. You can't save the world in a day, but you can sure take a step. And I want to talk about a couple of things and tell a story. First, a word from Rock Creek Cattle Company, a hidden gem located in the heart of Montana, a 28,000-acre cattle ranch with something for everybody, a world-class golf course, fly fishing, hunting, horseback riding, and more. Escape the bright lights. Discover Big Sky Montana. Exclusive memberships and real estate opportunities are available now. The website for more information, rockcreekcattlecompany.com. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
12:49 Pacific, Dan Duva, Mike McKenna with you for Nighttime at Noon. Don't forget, 4 o'clock, Darren Millard, Ryan Wallace for the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Game 3 of the Vancouver-Vegas second-round series, 6:45 Saturday, and then 7:30 on Sunday. Games 3 and 4 slated for the series. Games, of course, pushed back a couple of days. Hey, Knights fans, the best way to show your spirit no matter where you are in Nevada is with the Vegas Golden Knights license plate, a VGK plate. A great way to night up your vehicle and show everybody on the road which team you root for. Go to dmvnv.com/plates. That's dmvnv.com/plates. And you can show your Vegas Golden Knights pride. Well, I've just got a few minutes left here, and I wanted to share some of the things that the Hockey Diversity Alliance has laid out. Of course, the first recommendation was to delay the games, which was done not only Thursday, but also today, Friday. That was done. In addition, black suppliers, meaning staff and that kind of stuff, black suppliers should deliver at least 10% of NHL procurement expenditure by the 2021 season. In addition, NHL to be fully and completely transparent regarding all information related to the policies, targets, and commitments related to the hiring of employees who are visible minorities. Asked the NHL to commit $10 million per year, that's $100 million total, over 10 years to battle systemic racism. And then the HDA, the Hockey Diversity Alliance, suggesting money go towards grassroots programs, anti-racism education, social justice initiatives, executive and coach training, and youth scholarships. There's also a request during the NHL postseason for an on-ice presence of the HDA logo to raise awareness. There's also a proposal for a blackout warm-up jersey to help build awareness. And there's also a proposal to temporarily change the blue line to black for some games to help raise awareness. So whether any of those things are implemented or not, at least there's some suggestion and some discussion. And I don't know if any of those things, I'm not sure that a black line is going to work just for offsides. The puck is black, so that could be a problem.
Right.
But listen, there are conversations to be there, and the movement, the people speaking have the ear of the sports world and of the National Hockey League. That this all happened is significant. We've only got a couple of minutes here, but I just wanted to share a story because I think the best thing that we can do in our lives, talk about reaching out to friends, Mike, whether it's with a friend or with a family member, whether you're a son, a daughter, a father, a mother, whomever, is just to tell a story because stories, people are stories. Imagine this. Imagine you were to walk into a room and you forget who you are.
I've done that before.
But you don't remember your life experience. You don't remember who your mother is. You don't remember where she's from. You don't remember what your father does for a living. You don't remember anything. You have the same shoe size. You have the same hat size, same color eyes, same skin color. Are you still you? Are you still you? And those are the kinds of things we think about in the greater picture. Because personal amnesia versus societal amnesia, I think, are just as bad. If we don't remember things that have happened before, the people who have come through difficult times. In the 1930s, there was a black football player named Wilmuth Sadat Singh. His father had passed away as a child, and his mother remarried. So he was black. His last name is Sadat Singh because his stepfather, the man his mother married, was from India. So his last name was Sadat Singh. This is in the 1930s. Sadat Singh played football at Syracuse University. He was from Washington, D.C. When Syracuse went to play the University of Maryland in football, a reporter in D.C. who had known Wilmoth, covered him, said, "Isn't it great that a black athlete will get to play at Maryland, which did not allow black athletes, black students, until the 50s? And Maryland said, "If Syracuse fields that athlete, we won't play." Syracuse said, "Okay." And they didn't let Sadat Singh play that game because he was black. If he were Indian, it would have been okay. Years later, in fact, just within the last decade, Maryland rectified that injustice. But here's the twist. One of the teammates of Wilmoth Sadat Singh was Marty Glickman. Marty Glickman, just a year earlier, was on the U.S. Olympic team in Berlin, a track athlete, and he was Jewish. And the American coaches agreed to take Marty and Sam Stoller out of the track team lineup to appease Hitler and the Nazis. Jesse Owens ran in his place. America won the gold medals. They were going to win anyway. But fast forward, Marty Glickman regretted till the day that he died that he did not speak up the following year when the Syracuse coaches said, "We're not playing because of Wilmoth." So here he was. He experienced this anti-racism, or this racism, this, you know, anti-Semitic situation at the Olympics in Berlin in 1936. Even experiencing that, how hard it was for him the following year to then not even stand up to his own college football coach for a black teammate. By the way, Wilmoth Sadat Singh was a Tuskegee Airman, died in World War II. Just one little story. You probably never heard of Wilmoth Sadat Singh before.
No.
Just one story. That was in the 1930s. There are so many stories. Some are like that. Some are much more personal. We've got to wrap it up here, Mike, but appreciate your thoughts and your honesty today, and I'm sure we'll have some more time to tell some stories.
I hope so, Dan. We'll talk hockey down the road.
You're looking forward to tomorrow's game, I hope.
I cannot wait.
Thoughts on Game 3?
Well, you know, it's a bounce back for the Golden Knights, even though they, you know, generated 1,000 shots, it seemed like, and didn't come away with the win. But it'll be interesting because both teams have both got a win. They've gotten some confidence, but now we're 4 days out from that. So first period is going to be very telling. You don't want to chase the game. It's been a trend for the Golden Knights. They have been behind 2-0 three out of the last four games. I am sure they'd like to play with the lead.
It's a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. How do you handle the goalie situation?
Well, if it's history talking, I think we will see both goaltenders. That would be my inclination and my expectation.
Marc-Andre Fleury last week played Saturday, got the win. And then it was Robin Lehner who played the next day, Sunday, and lost, but then got the win a couple of days later.
And everything's changed now, so who knows what that process is going to be like. There's also a potential second back-to-back now because things have been postponed. So lots of things changing, fluid dynamics to goaltending.
Tomorrow, Golden Knights Canucks at 6:45. Hope you'll join us for the pregame at 6. Thanks to Jared Justice and Garrett Callaway. On we go.